From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host at the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, ever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hi, Bob. Great to be back another week of Bob After Dark here. And, you know, I'm already looking at the studio. I see people around, which means we have guests.
We have guests.
So am I jumping too far ahead here,
I think,
Bob?
You're jumping too far ahead.
I'm sorry. I get excited sometimes.
Okay. Are you done jumping ahead now?
Let me see. Yeah, I'm good.
You know, the fans get really upset. I've gotten emails from fans saying, well, how come you skip Count Panic's weekend update?
Oh.
So I have to at least get a quick update from you.
What did I do? Oh, well, I went down in Indiana, Wanata, Indiana, for the Scarecrow Festival.
Did you and yourself be a scarecrow?
No. There were some scarecrows there, which was nice to see, but it was all about the, you know, the food and the last pork tenderloin sandwich of the year, the last lemonade of the year, whatever you want to have you, and then switches over. Because the veil is at its thinnest almost here.
It's,
so you
it's
transition
thinning.
From the sun. Yeah, we're in the fall solstice.
It's thinning. It's not the thinnest.
It's at, almost at its thinnest.
It's thinning.
It's thinning. Okay.
It's thinning.
So you enjoy that last pork tenderloin sandwich before the veil is finally thin.
Now, you know I don't eat meat.
Well, they had elephant ears and probably
I had to do that.
Pretzels?
Lemonade. I love pretzels.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that.
Yeah.
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 How about you? How was your weekend?
What did I do? I've been on 3 podcasts in 3 days.
That's a record.
It's been busy. It's officially Halloween, so it's nonstop. I was featured on Ghostly Podcast episode this week that launches tomorrow as we're recording this live. So podcast land, when this hits you, I'll be on that one. We were talking about the Enfield case with the Ed Lorraine Warren. This was a good episode. That'll be out, so you guys can check out Ghostly. And then last night I was on the Dorkening Podcast Network talking about me. So that's pretty exciting.
That's good.
Yeah.
Promotion.
And then my big highlight of my weekend, I watched Return of the Living Dead 2.
What happened to the first one?
I watched that one already.
Oh, okay.
Now I'll watch the third one and then the fourth one.
Oh, all right. That makes sense.
Underrated horror films, in my opinion. Getting that screwdriver out of my head. Anyway, you know, we have guests this week.
It's a new era.
It is a new era. We actually have guests in the studio. We haven't had this in a long time.
When is the last time we had this, Bob?
Steve.
Oh, yeah. But no, but Steve is considered a
co-host. Yeah, as much as Steve can come around.
Yes.
God, we don't have guests come in here. The science girls.
Yeah.
From the
Challenger. Laura Bates and Emma.
Emma and Laura.
And that was
That was a while ago, February.
That was a little while ago.
Yeah. So we're studio stuff now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have a returning guest from like the original days of Bob After Dark pre-podcast. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
We get to check in. And we're going to be talking about spooky stuff with some spooky people tonight.
Sure.
A new era on Bob After Dark.
New era.
And by the way, guys, if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we are your weekly podcast radio show where we talk about everything legends, lore, and supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and, of course, Count Panic's favorite topping on pizza.
Sausage, pepperoni, mushrooms, maybe not so much, green peppers. That's more than one topping, though.
Cheese for me.
I know, you're just a cheese guy.
All right, let's take it over to the guests, because I'm done talking.
What's their favorite toppings?
I will find out. Oh. So taking it over, the hosts of Volumes of Fear and Paranormal Investigators and Celebrity Lookalike. Oh. Lookalikes.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. Yeah. I'm Andy.
Hi, Andy.
Hello, Bob.
And I am JC.
Hi, JC.
Hey, Bob.
JC, we had you on the show a while ago. You were one of my first guests I ever had on the show when we were still blossoming.
It was like, I think 3 years ago.
It's been a long time. You were my second guest I ever had. And that's crazy to think here we are full circle.
Right.
Back around.
Yeah,
well, I'm an international superstar. I use the term superstar very very loosely. People listen to me from other countries, and then I become a superstar. So, but I am an internationally known podcast host.
Hey, man, if it works.
I suppose so. So let's start with Andy, since we know a little bit about you, JC, and we'll get back to you. So, Andy, how are you?
I'm sorry. I'm super. You just bring a smile on my face. I don't know what it is. I couldn't even contain it.
Once upon a time ago, Andy was my boss.
We go back
a long way, and here we are now.
I know.
You're on my show.
I know. Tender moments.
Something like that. So mine is being my boss. Who are you, and why do you fit in the realm of being on my show?
I mean, you just asked me, so I was like, all right, I'll be on the show.
Great.
No. So my name is Andy Collins, and I am one of the two producers for Volumes of Fear. It's a scripted horror comedy podcast that is available right now on the World Wide Web.
Ah, that's a great terminology, Andy.
It is. We launched season 3 officially last week.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Our podcast is not, it's a little different because it's not like talk radio. All of our episodes are scripted out. They're fully written, fully produced. We have actors and sound effects and scoring and all the good stuff that comes with it. So, and like I was saying, it's available now. We are on Apple Podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/volumesoffear. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/volumesoffear.
Okay.
So.
And you dabble in paranormal investigations.
I have been on a ghost hunt or two in my day, or excuse me, a paranormal investigation.
Oh, yes. That's the proper term.
That is the proper term. Yes. So, you know, but yeah, I've been on a few investigations, seen a few places, heard a few things, but always a healthy skeptic looking for that solid little bit of evidence to, you know, really push me over the edge.
There is nothing wrong with being a skeptic, though. As I tell everybody, skeptics are very important to especially my line of work, because it gives me an opportunity to, it means I have to step my game up a little bit, mm-hmm. especially when I'm doing the investigative side of my job. It's like, well, you know, you take a skeptic out on an investigation, or you're talking to him about something, now I have to produce more evidence, or I have to try to explain what exactly is happening, you know what I mean? So it's,
Well, I'm not a big fan of the whole, I got a feeling type thing. Like, you can go into any creepy place and get the chills. What I want is something that you can measure. What I want is something that can be recorded. And, you know, people always turn to audio and video, and that's fine, but I want to go a little bit further than that. So that's always kind of been my my goal when I'm investigating.
That's fair. And JC, let's remind the world mm-hmm. of the Bob After Dark universe who you are for... because these fans probably never got to listen to your episode, so this is... let's pretend good. You weren't on the show before, and let's start with who you are.
Starting all over, we'll start fresh. Before I begin, though, I made a promise to my 7-year-old granddaughter I would mention that she did my hair tonight.
Oh!
So she begged me to make sure that I told you guys. So.
Nice. Oh, well, hello, seven. What's her name?
Her name is Bridget.
Well, Bridget, thank you for making his hair look lovely for mm-hmm. the show.
Yes. So to start off, my name is JC Rositas. I'm a local resident in Highland, Indiana.
Ah.
Been here many, many years of my life. I currently am involved in healthcare management, but I have been a paranormal investigator for the better part of about 12, 13 years. I've had the pleasure and the privilege to be able to travel to some great places. Had a few experiences here and there along the way, but along the course of that, I did develop my own production company that handles film video as well as podcasting. So it's Crimson Knight Productions, and that has been responsible actually for tying into helping promote and bring out a little more Volumes of Fear.
Okay, so Volumes of Fear, we talk about this, we've talked about it, but what exactly is Volumes of Fear? And you guys are welcome to chime in. The best way I described it to my father, who is not podcast-oriented by any means, and he's like, what were you on? I'm like, I was on something like The Shadows, like a radio drama almost. So that's the best way I described it, but you guys probably describe it better than I do.
That's a pretty fair assessment. I always say it's a scripted horror comedy podcast, because everything, like I said, is written out ahead of time. Take Tales from the Crypt. And imagine if that was just an audio broadcast, and that's what we do.
Ah.
And, you know, there's, when people listen to it or, you know, we get into the conversation, that's usually the first thing that they refer, that's the easiest thing to refer to, that's the easiest thing to say is the influence. But in fairness, I mean, you look at, like, some of the Simpsons, like, early Treehouse of Horror type things.
Oh, man, so good.
You know, that first handful of seasons when the Simpsons was actually good.
Yeah.
Sorry to listeners that still enjoy it, but I can't account for their taste.
I get their... probably season 10 of Treehouse of Horror, and I'm good after that.
But another inspiration to it was actually a record that I used to listen to as a little kid. It was called Ghostly Sounds, and it was a party record that you would put on during a party.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Hence the term.
Sure.
And but it was basically a narrator kind of describing what you're seeing and what you're going through and experience, and they would pipe in the sound effects as the guy was talking, and it was just a really cool thing, and I always remember that from my childhood. So that was kind of the main inspiration for doing audio projects in the first place. So
And how do you fit into the Volumes of Fear, JC?
Well, I fit in because I remember about, this is season three, so it was a couple of years ago when Andy was really coming up with these ideas, and he ran it past me about doing this and helping to produce it and put things together. I do have a background in doing audio engineering. And so when he sent me some of the first scripts and I was reading through what he had sent, I mean, it was just brilliant writing. It was brilliant stuff. And I looked at it like, oh my gosh, yes, I think this is going to do really, really well. And if anything, we're at least going to have fun doing this. And we did. I mean, it's been a blast ever since then. And it's been a culmination of, you know, just getting the voice actors together, having them read through the material, and just getting to experience that emotion, you know, that, especially when you're doing the editing part, and just how fun it can be to really put all that together. Because just as you do anything, when you're doing something like this, you do multiple takes, so you hear multiple different things and how people are actually running these through, and you're kind of creating these visions in your head as you're doing it about just not so much how it really sounds, you know, from that standpoint, but just what it's doing to get that story across in your mind as you're hearing it. And it's just been, every step of the way has been a pleasure doing it, and it has just been so much fun.
Is there an overarching theme between them, or are they just standalone skits?
So there isn't necessarily one ongoing storyline. All of the episodes take place in the town of Eastridge, which we just, it's again like the Simpsons, to where Simpsons was in Springfield. Yeah. I don't know if they ever said the state, you know, I gave up on the Simpsons, but sure. At one time it was completely ambiguous where Springfield was. That's the same thing with Eastridge. All the stories take place in Eastridge, and all the episodes are hosted by Piedmont Montgomery, and he's joined by his assistant and sidekick, Winston. And Piedmont is usually the one that narrates the stories. Sometimes it's interview style in the sense that the person being interviewed is recalling the story. But Piedmont Montgomery is the host.
Is that you?
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I should play like I don't know him, but I do know. I know
that's
him very
fair.
Well. It's me.
Yeah, that's good.
He's my best friend.
What was it like diving into the world of voice acting? Because this is something, you know, you don't have a lot of scripted podcasts out there in the world. Mm-hmm. There's a few. I mean, I know of a few, but it's different. It's a different medium, right, than what I do, because mine is very magazine show based, right? I have a topic and I have some news stories. I'm very much more like the Johnny Carson of the paranormal, where you guys are like telling something in one episode. So what was it like, you know, diving into the world of voice acting and moving into the episodic, I guess, versus, I don't know if that's even the correct term, but the episodic versus, like, why'd you guys go down that route and not something like, I guess, more traditional, right? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get at.
So I have a background in video production. I have a degree in, at the time, it was radio and television production. I got it from Purdue University, Calumet.
I think there's three of us in this room that have that same degree. Yeah, all three of us have that same degree.
And, you know, I went into, and I actually worked professionally in video for a number of years. And while I was working professionally in video and broadcast, I would do creative projects on the side, you know, as a hobbyist. Short movies, that type of thing. And the goal was one day to always make a movie. Well, at some point, this was like 2008, 2009. And YouTube was only just then starting to get known. Sure. At the time, it was still in its infancy stages. It didn't get to the point that it had gotten to, you know, a few years ago. But we were going to start doing horror videos, horror short movies, 2 to 3 minutes, that kind of length. And there's a handful of us from Purdue that always stayed together. And we were going to, you know, try and produce some of these. And life happens,
yeah.
You know, it's tough, but it happens. And somewhere along the lines, I started hearing the word podcast pretty regularly, and it just hit me that it's like audio, huh? You know, we could do that a lot easier. And things didn't happen right then. It took, obviously, you know, some 10 years to really percolate and get the idea going. But I don't even know how to explain it. It's just so much fun. Like, yeah, it's a throwback to the old radio dramas of the 30s, sure. 40s, 50s. It's a throwback to that, but people are so much more willing to participate when it comes to audio projects. You forget a lot of times that the microphone's in front of you. You got a camera in front of you, that's a different story, but when you have the microphone, they'll let go, and they have fun. And it's like, okay, you just did one or two really good takes. Go ahead and have some fun with this one. You know, shape that character, have some fun with it, and they love doing that. And so it's, you know, and it's a... I like to say family affair because we have half a dozen regulars
sure.
on there. JC and myself, we do a lot of the voices. My wife, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank her. She does many voices and she's absolutely phenomenal at it. She's one of those people that just goes into this without any sort of fear, you know, and she just knocks it out of the park every time. Josh Berkey is another young man, another gentleman who has participated quite a bit. Christopher Speedus.
Yeah, my first guest on Bob After Dark of all time.
He was the first guest on here, and Chris has been on our show a number of times. And then Jeremy McShirley, also known as Swirl.
Swirl.
Yes, yep, he is not only an actor, but he's also a writer and a musician, very talented at that. And David Thompson has joined us a number of times. And, you know, I could go on. Frank Cezan and Shannon Riley and actually Bob Anderson.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's
from,
my big
from Bob After Dark. I don't know if the listeners know.
I'm sure they do. I'm going to be on an episode at the end of October. That's when that episode launches,
yes.
right?
Bob is going to be on the season finale, Night of the Lizardmen Creatures.
Yes.
Drops the last Wednesday in October. Please don't ask me the date, but it is the last Wednesday.
Is the 26th. Yeah, 26th.
I think so.
Radical.
Yeah. Something like that.
But, so we have a lot of fun with this. And like JC was saying, we just kind of get together, record the parts, put them together. And it's different in the sense that it's not to say that your show isn't produced or written in any fashion. It's just ours is produced in a different way.
Sure.
So you can create content 10 times faster than we can.
Right.
We're still catching up. You know what I mean? So we have to try and limit it to just doing this in October. This year we increased it a little bit, went to mid-September, but we have a new episode actually dropping tomorrow night called Always Read the Fine Print.
Ah, look at that, guys. That's, mm-hmm. You guys can check that out. There will be a promo on this week's episode of Bob After Dark involving Volumes of Fear, so make sure you go check that out.
Yeah. So, but like JC was saying, it's a lot of fun, and it's different. It's outside the box, and, you know, It's family friendly. That's a huge thing too that we really
yes.
push. This can be listened to by anybody. So
now you have a background in paranormal investigations, JC, and you have a mm-hmm. background in understanding how ghost stories work and whatnot. When you're sitting down with Andy creating this content, mm-hmm. How much lore from the real world are you trying to encompass into this, or perhaps good crinkle of the bottle there, Andy.
That really, this
that's
is
very
really
sensitive.
Nice, Mike.
Yeah, it's a good
Tony.
Fantastic.
Right
bought it myself.
This is quality.
How much of the real world lore or ghost stories do you encompass, or something perhaps you parody making an appearance in Volumes of Fear?
You know what? When it comes to the contribution on that end of it, when it comes to the writing of that, a lot of that I just defer over to Andy
sure.
to get that. And, In fact, I can't even really recall anything that he's asked me, you know, does this seem appropriate or seem, you know, anything that you would have come across or whatnot, because I think that, even just kind of stemming into the whole paranormal world and the investigations that we do, I think that there's probably a sound, maybe yet silent agreement at the same time that we can all say that there's no particular behavioral pattern that we can expect out of anything when those unnatural occurrences would happen.
Sure.
So it's one of those things that you could really almost take something and walk away with it. In fact, there was an episode we did. It was between, I think it's between seasons one, seasons two of Piedmont that when we first saw a ghost that we did.
Yeah.
And it was just because we were all working remotely, you know, so we just kind of did some things on our own self home recorders and got everything compiled that way. But it was just a very quick thing, very minimal cast that was done. But that was a really good story of a behavior of a ghost and what you may or may not expect. So it was brilliantly done, and I had a lot of fun doing that as well. But when it comes down to the paranormal aspect of that, you know, if I have an idea or something, I'll throw it Andy's way. And
okay.
Usually I'll just say, you know what, here's an idea, and take it and run with it. And that's usually how I handle that, because when it comes to the writing, I just don't have the time to sit down and really flush it out as much.
Sure.
As and really, I tip my hat to him because he does such a phenomenal job with the writing. It's, you know, it's something that I know where my lines are at, and I don't want to cross that. So.
I'm paying him to say all this right now. In the parking lot, I slipped him $20.
Yeah. That's fair. Did you guys just meet in the parking lot today before you guys came on?
Some other parking lot.
No, I've known Casey for years. We go way back.
I've been called worse.
Is there any topics that you are sitting on that you're like, man, I really want to do something with this, or something maybe like, I know you do a lot of the writing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of it. Is there something like you come across, like, maybe you're listening to Bob After Dark and there's like a ghost story involved. Is there something that you maybe you listen to and you're like, I can encompass this into my show in some regard?
Usually. Well, yes. So when I get an idea and I'm like, oh, yes, this is, lack of better words, inspired me, you know. I just felt really pretentious saying that. I've been inspired.
I think we need to bust out the old beret, Andy, from the filmmaker.
I almost wore it. Basically, it's, I'm trying to think of even how to describe like where the ideas come from, because they just, it's that creative thing that sparks.
Sure.
That it just happens out of nowhere. We've had episodes about ghosts, Bigfoot, banshees,
zombies,
vampires, werewolves.
Lizard men, by the way.
Lizard men,
yes. My episode.
So taking like actual entities, if you will, from the world of the paranormal, we do try to incorporate as much as we can.
Sure.
You know, so at least there's some reference, because you got to remember at the end of the day, we're still audio.
Right.
There's no visual. So we have to paint that picture. So if we can get around that by cheating a little bit, like Bigfoot doesn't need a lot of descriptor in there, you know what I mean? So we can kind of get away with, oh, it's a big hairy, you know, Sasquatch, you know, 7 feet, and people can just imagine that off the top of their head. So
sure.
But we do try to incorporate, yeah, you know, some cryptozoology,
that's the term,
into,
well,
the
proud
show
of you.
There
you go. You even knew that word. I'm very proud of you.
Why wouldn't I know that word?
What's that?
Why wouldn't I know that?
I didn't say you wouldn't. I was just proud of you.
Really?
You knew the word.
Really?
You knew the proper term. I was proud of it. It's good. It's a good term. I'm happy you knew it.
No, but yeah, you get cryptoids.
Cryptoids. That's another term. It works.
You get some of those creatures into the mix, and it's fun.
You know, when we talk about cryptids on the show, that's one of my favorite topics to do on Bob After Dark, because some of the stories, you know, they're downright scary, but then there's other ones that are downright ridiculous. And, you know, you hear these things and then you listen to Volumes of Fear and you're like, man, you could really like encompass that in, like the Loveland frog incident in Loveland, Ohio, where this thing pulled out a sparkler and shot a cop with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was fighting a cop with a sparkler. And it's like, man, those like, that's just a ridiculous story, right? It's one of my favorite paranormal stories of all time. And it's like, that's Volumes of Fear, you know, material right there.
We try to, yeah, and I mean, some of the plots, like, for instance, episode 2, Guess Who's Coming to Brains, a young gal brings home her new beau to meet the parents.
Oh.
And her new gentleman suitor is one of the undead. He's a zombie. So all he can say is brains. And it's sort of an absurd concept, but at the same time, that's the type of fun that we like to have.
Excellent. All right, let's talk a little bit about the world of the paranormal, because my fans would drive themselves nuts if I didn't talk about something spooky. The Volumes of Fear is, that's a guilty pleasure for mine, but we need to get to the nitty-gritty a little bit. Sure. So you guys, you have a big background. We talked a little bit about it, and you made a wonderful documentary that people can watch.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and I want you to talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. Andy is trying to drink his water without clinking it against the microphone again, which I'm sure it's funny to watch. I'm trying not to laugh because I can tell the panic in your eyes and you're like, don't crinkle the bottle on the microphone.
I think I just pulled it off successfully.
I was very proud of you.
Fix it in post.
I'll fix it in post. I'm not fixing that in post, guys. I'm just letting you know right now.
It's authenticity.
Yeah, something like that. And it's like an Ed Wood when Torque Johnson couldn't fit through the door. That's real. He would have trouble walking through the door. And he would have trouble crinkling a bottle. So, you got that. And then, Andy, your paranormal background, you've dabbled. You're a part of, you've done things. But what's some of the, better cases you've been on? And we're going to get back to you, JC, because I want you to talk about the documentary. What are some of the places you've investigated or something that stands out to you? You're from Northwest Indiana, native like myself and JC and Tony Panic. The Reeder Road is the big one around here that I feel like everybody's first investigation was on. So,
I'd actually disagree with you.
Really?
Gypsy's Graveyard, hands down.
If you want to die, that place is not the safest place to be.
Why isn't it safe?
The first time I was ever out there, there were some, I was like 17, 18, and there were some sketchy individuals out there doing sketchy things. And the caretaker of the cemetery went out there with a firearm and started shooting. That's a fact. So that place is dangerous. I don't know how it is in 2021, but that place is...
I haven't been there in umpteen years, but... Back in the day, that was always the place that people would talk about first, and then there was always Salesians Preparator in Cedar Lake.
Is that still standing?
I don't think it is, and that is one spot that the cops will keep an eye on.
Maybe they watch that closely.
Sure, no different than Bachelor's Grove in Midlothian, that border here. That's a good way to get a ticket for trespassing.
At night.
Yeah.
Always. At night. During the day, you're fine. Oh, because it's a park.
Yeah, it's historical. Place, but the what's some of the places you've been, Andy, and the places that you've stood out in your mind of interesting and evidence you've seen? And
so I'm going to have to defer to JC a number of times because I always say it's the place just south of Indy, because that's my go-to response. Been to Whispers Estate many times, and obviously JC made the documentary about the location.
Yes.
Been to Waverly Hills, which is down by Louisville.
South of Indy.
South of Indy.
Somewhere, but yeah.
I've never been there, fun fact. That's on my bucket list of places I want to investigate really bad, so pinning that. We got it in the budget, It's in the budget, thanks.
In the budget.
But then we also went to Randolph County Asylum, Bel Air House, Watsika, Illinois. What was that? It's south of Indy.
Yeah,
was
the Rough Home.
That's the Rough House.
So went there. Bel Air House is actually one of the places that I went to that I actually had an experience at that I was like, that's actually kind of impressive, and I'll take that as something unique.
Why is that?
Because there wasn't a whole lot of explaining what I saw.
What'd you see?
Saw a ball roll off a shelf.
A ball?
Yeah, and I actually got it on video, too.
That's interesting.
Yeah. That was one of the crazier moments. I was actually there with Keith Age.
Oh, okay.
And Keith and I were in, it was a room on the second floor, and he had just done an EVP in there. A few people were headed out, and he and I were in there alone, and I just was getting some footage of the room. I pan over at the right time, and I was, 6 feet away from the shelf, and there was a ball on it that just rolled up right off on its own.
That's strange.
Yeah, that's one of the few things. And then what was the movie theater that we went to south of Indy there?
Oh, movie theater.
South of Indy.
No, it's in Ohio.
It was the Jack Osborne had done one of his shows there.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I'm sure somebody is going to chime in here in a moment and tell me what that was, but I can't think of it, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I can't remember the
that
name
movie
of it.
Theater, though, I will say I saw or heard, excuse me, a little girl laughing there.
Oh,
And that was one of the few times there were no kids there. It was just a bunch of adults. But I heard that clear as day, and I wasn't alone with that. That was actually Robbie Thomas was also there, too. Robbie's a psychic from Canada who's done many projects in the U.S. But Robbie and I were just standing there, and all of a sudden I turned and heard this thing, and he was like, "What was that?" And that was one of the first times that I've ever had somebody be like standing right there next to me to witness something.
Sure.
Gill House in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
That place, that's just got a unique feel to it. Like, sure. That's got a unique vibe. Going there, though, it was me, JC, Chris Speedis was there. Mm-hmm. I was walking in from outside, and as I was walking in, I heard a little girl laughing there, too. And the thing with that was that I was the only one that heard it. I was alone when I was walking through the hallway. There's houses around there. So not to say I discredit it, but that was one of the few times that I've been like, holy cow, what was that? But can probably explain that one a little bit. So I'm trying to think of some of the other places.
Someone chimed into the chat, by the way, and said that the place in Cedar Lake is still standing, and it was recently just bought by somebody.
Salesians, huh?
Yeah, Salesians just got bought.
Funny story about Salesians. When I was in high school, we used to give tours to people there, right? Like, late at night, we'd sneak in there, and we'd take our friends back there, like, and we'd have people waiting there.
Oh.
Shutting doors, making footsteps.
You're the worst.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. Oh, man, was that good. We had some good times there. That's actually gone through half a dozen ownership changes throughout the years. And, you know, I don't know who owns it now. At one time, it was going to be a paintball course. At one time, it was going to be a haunted house. The night that they were going to turn it into a haunted house, the very first night I went there, and they couldn't open the doors for whatever reason.
Yeah, Chuck, right, who was trying to get that going over there? Yeah, I remember that when he was on the show last year, we talked about it.
But there's been half a dozen efforts to do something with that property, and that was just a scary place in the first, you know, the school itself is scary, but all of the surrounding buildings, which I think those have all collapsed at this point, like the gym. I remember seeing that back when that was still standing, and then it was like a year later that we went back there, and it was like the roof was completely on the ground, and it was like, yeah, we're not going in there. So,
JC, you made a whole documentary into the world of the paranormal. Mm-hmm. That's really good, by the way. Everybody should go check that out. I'm going to make you talk a little bit about it. We did an episode about the place, and for whatever reason, we didn't have you on the show. I'm going to blame my producer for it. So we have a caller, so we'll talk until the caller is ready to talk.
Okay.
Oh, my. Somebody's excited to be on the phone.
That's so cool. Okay. All right, caller, go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
I think he's ordering a pizza. But anyway, are you excited about this?
What? I'm stoked, bro. You got a caller. He's a boss.
We got him a caller.
You got me a caller. All right, put him through.
Who do we have on the line?
Oh, we have Rick on the line. Rick.
Rick, you're on the air. Where are you calling from, Rick?
I'm calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Missed you guys last week. Yak Shamash.
Dobja, Rick. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about cryptids a little bit, and I was listening to, I don't know if you want me to name it or not, but I was listening to another podcast.
You're fine to name another podcast. It's
do it, Rick.
It was Strange Things with Joshua P. Warren.
Okay.
Not familiar with it.
Friend of mine, yeah.
Oh, small world. Look at that.
He was saying that possibly that the reason why, like, when we see cryptids, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, Loch Ness Monster, I know Count Ponick. I know you're a big fan of Loch Ness Monster.
I am, Nessie, yeah.
That's his girl.
Good one.
The reason why we see her and she runs away so quick is possibly they are entities from other dimensions.
Yep, that's one of the theories.
I thought, you know what, as soon as I heard that, all the buttons in my head just suddenly clicked and like everything came together, and I'm like, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. Whether it's real or not, who knows.
Rick, can I ask you a question, Rick?
Go ahead,
I'm gonna turn the tables on you, pal. What's your favorite cryptid?
my favorite cryptid. Ooh, thank you. Thank you so much for asking that.
You're welcome.
Favorite cryptid. Boy, it would probably either have to be the Jersey Devil or... it's the Jersey Devil.
Nice.
For sure.
Good choice. Good choice.
Good one.
You don't hear a lot of people talking about the Jersey Devil, unfortunately.
No.
My family and I went on a road trip out to Long Beach Island, New Jersey, one time, and we passed towards a highway sign that said "Home of the Jersey Devil," and then my uncle at the time described to me the story, and that's another one of my origins of being introduced to the paranormal. It just fascinated me.
Do you do any investigating yourself?
I have back in the day, and I didn't go about it quite the right ways, and it really freaked me out. I think being a little bit wiser and learning about like protection spells and stuff like that you can do to yourself before you go, I might be a little bit better well equipped to handle those situations, but I'm very apprehensive about it. If you want me to come along with you to do an investigation, I'll drop everything in a heartbeat to come do it with you.
What's your big con out there, Rick?
What's my big what?
The convention out there. Is that Grand Rapids Comic Con out there?
Yeah, I've never been to one.
Reach out to your show owner and let them know I'm taking my bookings for 2022 already, so... they can book me early, okay. And I could just come up there for an investigation too. They could double my. Let your convention runner know I'm taking bookings for 2022.
Oh my goodness! I'll do that for you, my friend. Personally, I promise you that.
Thanks, Rick. I appreciate you.
Hey, but like I said, all the gears in my head clicked when Joshua mentioned that these things might be interdimensional beings, which makes a lot of sense. Why, like UFOs, things like that, we see them, and then all of a sudden you look away, and they're gone. And where do they go?
That makes sense. Well, if you're going to buy into the theory that they're real, why don't we have concrete evidence and proof?
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole, I'm sure you've heard of the whole, what's the term, the flat world?
That's a fun conversation for another day, Rick.
and that's what shadow people are. They are interacting with our dimension from a fourth dimension that we can't totally comprehend, and we see them as a shadow. So let me tell you a little something about shadow people. I'm gonna give you another little story for this week, okay?
No problem. We're all ears.
The house I was telling you about last time when my dad saw the shadow person. He's not a believer, and it scared the living daylights out of him. Nothing went on in that house for a whole while we were living there. It was about 2 years before things started happening, and I'm sitting in my room one day watching Netflix. For some reason, I had my feet up on my desk, and I'm looking over at my shadow on the wall. And this other shadow, walks up out of my shadow and walks out of the room. Like, my shadow separated into two. And one of them walked out of the room. And I just immediately sat up and was like, no, 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 thank you. You need to leave. Not cool. I was not impressed. But he was the reason why... I wake up every morning now at about 3 a.m. I wake up every morning because he used to wake me up and I felt like that someone's face was right in front of mine wanting to punch me. I felt like just severe hatred and like just very violent energy.
Huh.
And that was not, like I said, I still wake up at 3 a.m. every morning from that experience. And that was about 8 years ago. But there was another spirit in that house. There was a little girl. And I know she was a little girl because I saw her. Me and a cousin of mine saw her. And that was a very interesting one because my cousin came over to stay the night with us, stay the weekend. He's a bit younger than me, maybe like 10 years younger than me. But, you know, we still have a lot in common. So he came over, stayed the weekend. I went outside to have a cigarette. And we're both sitting there looking at the front of the house. And we're not talking this whole time. And there's this little girl. Looked just like a real person. Not see-through, not glowing, nothing. Looked like a real flesh and blood person. Walking on the front porch, this little girl with long, straight brown hair. And, of course, Pat, go ahead and roll your eyes. A white dress.
Ah, yes. Lady in white. Good job. Pat's somewhere right now rolling his eyes, I promise you, Rick.
I know, but you know, he's a good guy. I appreciate him. anyway, we're sitting there looking at this girl, and she walks along and ducks down underneath the window frame so you can't see her anymore. So I thought, okay, she's going to wait for me to go walk up to the front door and open up the door, and she's going to scare us. So I did just that. At this point in my life, I had already seen enough paranormal activity where I'm not scared. I'm interested.
I just yell back. That's what I would do.
I open up the front door. Sure enough, there's no one there. And my mom and my aunt come out of the house. They were conversing inside the house, and they come out of the house, and I go, hey, the little girl kind of looked like one of my cousins, Anya. They said, is Anya here? She says, oh, no, she's at one of her friend's houses right now. And I go, oh, okay, just wanted to know. And then I turn and look at my cousin, who had seen this whole thing with me. And we didn't say anything to each other the whole time. And I know the power of suggestion. If I were to tell him, hey, did you just see a little girl with long brown hair standing on the porch? That might have, you know, imprinted on him. Instead of saying that, I said, what did you see? He looks at me and says, I saw a little girl with long brown hair and a white dress.
Huh.
I was like, okay, that's proof enough for me. I am not hallucinating. Okay, thank you very much. Well, and that was very profound.
Well, I appreciate you calling in and telling us these stories every week. I always appreciate when I hear your voice, Rick.
And I it really tickled me when I heard last week that I didn't call in, that you guys were wondering where I was. So
you become one of the weekly callers, Rick, and I always appreciate it.
I'm one of your number one fans, Bob and Count Panic. Love you guys. Have a great show, okay?
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate that.
Rick doesn't love us.
Rick might listen to Volumes of Fear now.
I thought we had a connection, Rick.
We don't know you. He just started listening to this.
Well, it felt like we just had something. We were clicking.
I felt that, too, between you two. I don't know what happened there.
Thank you. All right. Thank you for calling in, Rick. And remember, folks, our hotline is open, 219-845-1100. Put Count Panic to work back there instead of him just filing his fingernails.
If I had a file, I'm using my teeth here, my fangs.
Give a phone call, say hello, tell us your ghost story, to ask us your questions. The hotline is open. All right, JC, tell us about this documentary you made about this lovely place that we covered on the show recently, and we didn't get him on the show, Count, and I blame you.
I can't believe it.
I blame you.
Me?
Yeah, you.
All right. I blame him. There's
I booked every guest for like the past 6 weeks.
Yeah, we got a lot of people.
We've had a lot of guests. Yeah. It's been a bit. So anyway, back to JC. Let's hear about this documentary.
Sure. So this documentary is called When the Walls Talk, the Whispers of State documentary. This was actually released back in 2017. We began filming, believe it or not, just this past weekend. It would have been 6 years ago. So it was kind of like a milestone right there. I was like, oh, look at that. It was on a Saturday too. So it was like, oh, this is perfect. But at any rate, It was a lot of fun doing it because Whispers of the State, although it's not here in the region, Northwest Indiana, it's about 85 miles south of Indianapolis, and it's
south of Indy.
There you go. Everything happens south of Indy, man.
That's your new bumper sticker, south of Indy.
Yeah.
But
what's the name of the place?
Whispers of State. it's a place that is actually very near and dear to my heart. Well, back in the days of when I was actually just starting to do the investigations, that was one of the places that I hit that at the time, not a lot of people knew about it. There were a few investigators who had been there, but not a lot of people really knew about it. But at the time, also was the good friend of mine who owned it at the time was Van Rainier. And I got to develop a really great relationship with him over the years because after that first time, even though we didn't have a lot of personal experiences, a lot of things that we did kind of walk away with ended up being the EVPs, or the electronic voice phenomena, that we would have captured on our recorders. And I had caught the laughter of a little girl in one of the back bedrooms. And it was a small group of us, like five people, myself and four others, and then the homeowner. We all went to the second and third floors doing the investigation for the night. And the recorder I left in that bedroom is what caught the laughter of a little girl in that room. It was enough that it really just sent me into that whole realm of, like, I got to get back there, you know, as soon as I can. And I've been there many, many times since then. That was going back to 2010, my first visit there. And fast forward, you know, all the times I've been there up to 2015, when I was starting to get into filmmaking and really, you know, starting to get engaged with that, I had a talk with Van Rainier, and I said, you know, this location, that house, had been talked about in documentaries and TV shows here and there, just little blips on the radar, but it never had a full-scale discussion. And or even a presentation in any kind of way. So as a first project, I said, you know, if you come, let us stay here, you know, let us film multiple nights, we'll do all this, and we'll have something together for you. And he loved the idea. I mean, he really felt like that was a place that had a story that needed to be told. And we actually had quite a few people initially lined up who investigated there as well. They had great evidence of what now they want to talk about, and you know, we'd have these engaging conversations, and then when we go to do the follow-up, do the filming and do the talks, you know, that were actually gonna be recorded, they'd fall off the face of the earth. So
oh no. Yeah,
it happens, you know, but we still had a lot of the things that the team that was working with Heartland Hauntings, we had a lot of great stuff anyway. So we kind of moved with that. We also had people who did come forward, who lived or locals down in that area, who said, yeah, I went through to a house, or I did investigating there, and I had these experiences, or I had these pictures, or I had, you know, other things that I could share with you. And they did that. They did a fantastic job with that. But when the documentary first came out in 2017, we were kind of doing self-distribution with that. And it wasn't really moving the needle too much as far as, like, getting out there and gaining any kind of popularity. I did end up signing with a distribution company, Shamee Media Group, and they have pushed it out to multiple platforms. And right now, it's actually doing very well with a channel. It's called the History Timeline Channel on YouTube, and that has gained at this point. The last time I checked, a couple weeks ago, it had 457,000 views.
Wow!
And it just seems to be, you know, growing a lot more, you know, in that arm of it. So. It is out there. You know, it's out there. You can watch it for free on YouTube. You know, there's other avenues too.
What's it called again?
It's called When the Walls Talk, the Whispers of the State documentary.
You hear that, folks?
When the Walls Talk.
Yep. Yeah.
Did you, this is a question, did you stay at the house?
Oh, yeah.
Did you get the Papa John's pizza?
You know, I've had so many different things down there.
That's what they talk about on the website. You stay at the house and you get order Papa John's. That's what they like. That was the advertisement.
Yeah.
did you order the Papa John's?
I may have had the Papa John's there once or twice before.
Was it good?
But it's Papa John's. You know, what could you say?
Fair enough. We got a caller, by the way.
Okay.
Who do we got?
You're faster, Bob. Yes, we have John on the line.
John, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob.
Oh, hey, John. How's it going tonight?
Pretty good.
It's nice to hear your voice, as always.
How are you guys doing?
Not bad.
Hey, good evening to your two guests.
Good evening, John.
Good evening.
Both of you guys mentioned that you did investigations in various places and did experience some paranormal activities. Have you ever gone both together on an investigation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have.
Yeah,
and
That's I honestly probably 9 out of 10 plays I've been to have been with there with JC. So
okay, I apologize if I missed hearing saying that, but okay, when you were together, did you experience anything? You know, at the same the same thing, or did you guys experience different activity going on at that particular place?
I think he's asking if you guys evidence. Did you ever witness the same piece of evidence together?
Right. I'm trying to think. I can't.
I'm going to lightly say yes to both of that. But I would say more or less that the experience, and I can get into a whole spiel about experiences.
I got time.
Okay. So the experience arm of that though is that I think that we've had a few together. Not a whole lot, but I think the more or less the experiences that have been felt. Have been kind of either we were in different rooms from one another, because the one thing I want to illustrate in this is that when I do the investigations with a group, we don't tend to all group together and go into the same room or anything like that, unless we're like a small, like 2 or 3 people, then maybe. But if we have a larger group, then, yeah, we'll split off. We'll go in different directions. But really, I mean, experience can be just a flighty thing, you know, that can happen. And sometimes it really the crux of what I want to talk about on that is that I don't think experiences are meant for people that aren't meant to have them. You know, it is for those who are meant to have them for whatever reason.
That's very prolific of you.
So thank you.
So what you're saying is you don't have to be a skeptic. You could experience something just poof like that, right?
Well, with the experience, though, is that even if it's meant for you, you can still be a skeptic. And I would say keep an open mind about that because it could be explainable. But if that was something that you cannot put a finger on to say that what that experience was that you can explain, then it could have been something that was meant just for you.
Okay, very interesting. You guys are very interesting. Appreciate you coming on the air. And I believe that Silesia Monastery is gone. That's not there anymore.
I'm getting conflicting reports on this, John. Because
I'm going to side with John, actually. I think it's gone.
I'm getting conflicting reports. There is somebody chiming into the chat that chimed in a while ago and said that it's still there. So
I've been past there plenty of times. I think the sign is still there. And now we're talking, this had the pond or a little lake behind it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gone.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, it's just off of Parrish in Cedar Lake.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's no longer there anymore. So.
Well, thank you for sharing, John.
John, real quick, do you do any investigating?
No. I just I'm avid listener to Bob.
Okay.
Every Tuesday, and that's about it.
Right on.
John is my John calls every week on the show.
That's, yeah.
He happened to be the. One of the original creators of Bob After Dark in a weird sense, Count Panic.
His voice does sound familiar.
It's very familiar.
So why isn't it Bob and John After Dark?
John, I've been telling John we need to do an investigation for years. I don't know why. We need to do the Indiana Beach investigation sometime. We were talking about that. So
yeah,
we'll have to set that up.
Yeah, looking forward to anything you got going, Bob.
Sounds good, John. Thank you for calling in, as always.
Take care.
Thank you. And it's just Bob After Dark, Andy. It's an easy word.
But Bob, if you said John was one of the original creators,
he created, in essence.
Why is it? Wait, why isn't it Bob and Tony After Dark?
Yeah, you know
Tony,
what? I wrote that myself. Too.
Who's Tony? His name's Count Panic.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, Bob and the Count After Dark.
Count After Dark. That has a nice name.
Counting After Dark.
Yeah. Oh boy, now I feel like
we've got spinoffs. We've got spinoffs. It's all because of you, buddy. It's all because of you.
Jeez, are you gonna want your own show, Andy After Dark, Andy After Dusk,
Andy Before Dusk, Andy Before Dawn,
Andy at Twilight? Why not, JC? You want one? We're handing out spinoffs.
Why not, JC? Sometime around lunchtime.
The show started off not paranormal, and then it turned into a paranormal show when I got into the radio, and it's just the name stuck. People know he's a part of Bob After Dark as much as I am.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot his name is in the title.
The night is long. We can fit all these names into the night. There, so.
That's good.
Well, we've got to get everybody all, this is such and such, this is Bob at 1 a.m. or Colin at 2 a.m. That's just a, God, man, you guys are making me feel bad over there. Andy, what was the two rules we said before the show? No swearing and no ridiculing me.
I'm not ridiculing, I'm fighting for justice. I'm a justice fighting warrior.
Ah.
I don't know what that means, but I do it.
What was the line in Lost Boys? God, you've seen Lost Boys, right?
Yeah, I've seen it.
That's the
maggots, Michael. You're eating maggots.
No, the Edgar Frog says,
"I can't beat your bike. You don't have to beat me. You just got to keep up."
Oh my God, I'm saying the Edgar Frog says peace, justice, in the American way, right?
Right.
Way. So anyway, you guys were talking about experiences, and you were saying that people that are meant to have the experience has it. Can you dive a little bit more into that? We got a little bit left here, so.
Sure. So it's just one of those things that I picked up on over the years investigating, because I've gone to places with people that where things just wouldn't happen if I bring them back, and bring it back even to different places. Nothing seems to happen when I bring certain people. When I bring another group of people, then something might happen. Yeah, and it's one of those things that I just kind of like lightly came to a conclusion that I think that the experiences are only meant for certain people when they happen. Yeah, they're not meant for everybody.
Sure.
And you can attribute that to whatever you want. You know, maybe that person carries a certain energy with them, or they're more open to that. Maybe that's very possible. But I've always, no matter what, I've always encouraged that people, whatever you think you're experiencing, keep an open mind, because your experience may not be what that is, what you're thinking is as a paranormal effect. You know, it could be something else that could be very explainable. But one of the things that, one of the places I know that Andy had mentioned was Gill House in Ohio.
Yeah.
That I had been there, and I went there. It was my first time visiting there, I believe it was back in 2014. And it was a very small group of us. Christopher Speedus was one person who was there. And it was kind of like one of those spring days where it was kind of cool out, still outside. And in the house, which is a 6,000 square foot home.
That's a big home.
It is huge. It is a massive size house. They had very limited areas in the house that they actually had the heat going, because it is owned and maintained by the Historical Society out in Galleon, Ohio. But the whole second floor that night we were there was like right around 45 to 50 degrees, very cold. But we had some really weird things that were happening, you know, as far as that. Like we saw some really hot footsteps that we caught on our infrared gun, you know, that were coming up behind Christopher Speedus. Yeah, and I thought, you know, in an environment like this where he's wearing rubber-soled shoes, you know, heat's not transferring out like
that. That's strange.
Why is this happening?
Right.
And then we caught a picture of some kind of weird person, like with really crazy-looking hair, standing down at the end of the hallway.
Not me, by the way.
It wasn't you, Bob.
No, that's fair.
but it's one of those things where it kind of like bends into that whole experience. Why are we experiencing this? And we didn't have any answers, you know, that come from that night. But what I can say is that was a place in its infancy at that time. Not a lot of people had been there before to investigate it.
Sure.
And I think that when you have a place that is that genuine like that, that if there's things there, they're going to open up a little more, and they're going to be willing to talk to, you know, or even just let you know they're there.
Sure.
And I think that's where, you know, maybe that there's a certain sense that they get from that. You know, is this person going to be willing to believe that? You know, can I really approach them and talk? They're almost like today, you know,
right.
Can I talk to this person or not? You know, and that's, I think it's where the experience, it lends itself well into that.
What's your take on that, Andy?
Well, I mean, JC hit it on the head. Like, everybody's experience is going to be their own. You know, when... It's not like a lot of people walk into a place and I get the chills, I get the creepy vibe, but in my head, I'm always like, you know what? That's just the spooky feeling that I'm getting. That's what I love.
Sure.
But it doesn't necessarily mean, like for me, it doesn't necessarily mean that, okay, I'm definitely feeling an energy or an aura or something like that. Like I said, I'm somebody that wants that evidence that says, okay, that's kind of cool, hard to argue. And something that I want to develop, and it's going to take a little bit of time, is some sort of recording system to where we can actually gather data and put something together to where it could not necessarily like say 100% definitively like, yes, this place is haunted, it's got paranormal activity.
Right.
But something that says like, hey, there's something not right. Something's, you know, off with the place. So
what's And this is, I'm going to ask both of you, and I'll start with you, Andy. What is your theory of, like, ghosts in general? Do you believe that they're what we leave behind, or do you feel like there's something that can interact with us, full concrete, or do you still need evidence before you make a hypothesis on that?
No, I would say that I'm open-minded enough in that area to say that there's something there that we can't explain.
Sure.
And that there is something there that is, I'm not going to say unknowable, but we're not going to know a whole lot about it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. JC?
No, I agree with that. I think that it is not full well understood. Okay. You know, in the years I've been investigating, which has been between 12 and 13 years at this point, I'm still trying to figure out what this all is. You know, when these things do happen, why are they here? You know, and are they always here? Is it always a thing? You know, that I know people will claim things. You know, I've done private residence investigations where people would ask me, come, you know, check out, you know, what's been happening. And, you know, some homes, you know, it was nothing. And in other homes, yeah, there were some strange things that were happening. One of your callers, I think Rick, mentioned about shadow people, and I had a shadow person experience at a private residence home. I won't list the city because or anything like that, but it was here in Northwest Indiana. I will say that. And a shadow person ran right by me, and it was the strangest thing. And they move really quickly. They really, really do. But it was not one of those things I saw out of the corner of my eye. It was full on right in front of me and then went right past me. So when we're trying to put a finger on to say what these things are, what they aren't, I don't think we're fully there yet. Do I believe? Absolutely. I do believe, but I don't believe that everything is paranormal. You know, I think there are some things that are explainable.
I think that's fact. Yeah. You go opinion if it's an actual ghost or something, but what you said, I believe is 100% fact. Mm-hmm. And people that are, I always say this too, that overzealous believers can ruin something just as much as what I call like a wet towel skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
I think on both ends of that spectrum can really, I wouldn't say ruin an experience, but it's very hard to get something done or at least try to get immersed in what you're doing. Because sometimes the best parts of investigations is explaining why it is. I understand it's not always fun to prove it wrong, but isn't that kind of cool where you're like, oh, you know, we have this intelligent haunting where this thing is walking at 3 o'clock every morning, and you go and you're like, oh, it's actually a squirrel.
right. No, that's the great thing, actually, when you find those kinds of things out, that it turns out to be a rodent or something else, something that can be explained. Because when you think about why we do what we do,
right?
Think about the history of that. Why did we even start doing this? And it was to help people, you know, in the event that they're having these experiences. So if it's something you can allay their fears and you can just explain to them, no, it's not this, but you may have a rat in the wall. You may have those things that are happening. I think the technology has vastly improved to be able to put together tools that we can use, but I think that we have to understand how those tools really work to be able to say that, you know, what's the conclusive evidence we can get from that.
I think it's really important that when you go to a location, especially one that is like super haunted, right, and it's got that reputation, I think you really need to, number one, go into it with an open mind. But number two, I think you really need to look at everything and anything regarding that environment, what you're in. How close is it in a residential area? If so, how close are the houses? How close are streets? How, you know, it's
right. Where's the power lines?
Power lines. What's the ampage like in that house? What's the HVAC system? Where's the ductwork? Where's the returns, the exchanges? And that's one of those things that it's like we jump, and there was one group that will remain nameless.
That's fair.
But I was on an investigation with them, and any time that they had any sort of what's it called? It was one of the meters that lit up.
K2.
Yeah. And any time that thing would move, and this was like a group of like 15 people, they would all start hooping and hollering. And it was just like, what does this mean? And it's like, you have this one gal who's sitting there that's like, if you are so-and-so, light up these lights.
Were you watching Poltergeist?
Yeah. yeah, and then Craig T.
This
Nelson
house
came
is
out.
Clean.
But no, it's like this thing would go off and they would all start cheering. And it was just like, how do you know? You know, it's like you got the parts from Radio Shack and built this yourself. Like, that doesn't mean anything.
Kind of offended because you can, K2 meter is actually very useful. You can use it as a stud finder if you're good enough.
Well, you're right. You know, that's why it always goes off my hand. But the issue wasn't a joke. But but I think all too often it's people are too quick to jump when they should really be sitting back and thinking or saying, why did this happen? Is there anything we can cancel out?
Document it as evidence, but don't jump to conclusion. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Count Panica is one of my favorite encounters in my entire career of investigation and paranormal research. Count Panica is my absolute favorite encounter I've ever seen in my life. And I see you're back at your desk.
Which
and
one?
To pick on you.
Which one could
the
that be?
Playing cards with...
Crown Point Jail.
Yeah,
style.
With Mr. Bernacki.
Don Bernacki,
Don
yes.
Bernacki, you did the... This guy here, you're talking about the stud finder. This one here, you bring him into the female dormitory at the Crown Point Jail, and he got the evidence.
They found
night.
The stud. That's for sure. Right?
You want to share that story?
Yeah, we were in the Crown Point Jail cell with Don Bernacki, who teaches high school at Crown Point. He also teaches a paranormal class for high schoolers. Brings them on investigations and whatnot. So we're there, what 3 years ago, maybe like 3 years back. And he does this thing in the jail cell where you're playing cards with them, basically. And you put a card down, then they ask you, well, what is this your card? I don't play cards myself, so I'm just going by what he was saying. And the ghosts were, like, playing along. Like, they knew. They weren't flipping them over. I don't
high card.
Thinking.
You were playing high card.
Yeah, high card. Yeah. So, and then you leave a cigarette for them if they beat me. And they beat me every time.
Don Bernanke actually taught my... American history class freshman year of high school at Crown Point.
Wow. He is one of the most brilliant minds in the paranormal, my opinion.
He was a phenomenal teacher.
Yeah,
he cracked me up.
Have you ever done an investigation with the guy?
No,
I've been wanting to get him on the show for a while. He is so, I don't know how to describe it, like narrative based with his investigations, where you'll actually learn something from.
Good storyteller.
Yeah, good. He's great. I was blown away by his work. We got a little bit of time left, so let's get some plugs in, if you will. What would you like to plug? Let's start with
Volumes
Andy.
Of Fear.
That's it.
Volumes of Fear.
Volumes of Fear. That's what you would like to plug.
No, listeners of Bob After Dark,
the Children of the Night. That's my fan base, by the way.
That's cool. We call ours the Loyal Lunatics.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Check out Volumes of Fear, facebook.com/volumesoffear, soundcloud.com/volumesoffear. Check out Volumes of Fear on Apple Podcasts.
Uh-huh.
It's produced by myself and JC Rositas here. Mm-hmm. Jeremy McShirley, Swirl, also plays a big role with the production process, as does David Thompson. And there was one person that I failed to mention earlier that is a part of the VOF family, and he is an amazingly talented artist. He does all of the artwork for Volumes of Fear, and it has such a unique and awesome, distinct style. So, I know. So, all right, let's move on.
You're not going to...
No, his name is Derek DeBoer. I just thought it'd be funny if I ended up
Oh, thanks, Derek. You're welcome to do my artwork.
You ended up on the floor of his house that one time we were playing Risk. Do you remember that?
I remember that. Yes.
Yeah.
The
Yeah, you got up and fell over, and you were like, my back. So, anyway.
I have a problem. I still do that, by the way.
But no, Derek DeBoer is... His talent is unreal.
You broke the rule again. I saw no ridiculing me or bringing up the old days of when you were trying to lasso me with
how was I ridiculing you? This is a precious moment that we've shared together.
You lassoed me with microphone cables.
It wasn't microphone cables, it was just rope.
No, it was
I had a bag of rope.
I thought you had cables. Anyway,
no, it was rope.
Those were the days.
This suddenly got weird.
JC, what do you have going on?
Oh, it is Bob After Dark.
So, aside from the Volumes of Fear, which has been a fantastic project to be working on and be involved with, we just filmed a short film, I Found You, which was actually Andy had written it, and fantastic script, and I got to tell you, we had a phenomenal cast for this. We really, really did. It is in post-production right now. We're hoping to get that cranked out and start circulating that about at some film festivals. We also have a short we did a couple years ago called Heinous Sound, that is floating around out there. We did turn that over to the distributor. That was done in 2019, and I do believe it's on the channel called Gatebreaker on YouTube.
Gatebreaker?
Gatebreaker, yes.
Okay, Gatebreaker, guys.
But you can do a quick, simple search for heinous sound, and then you'll be able to find it right away. I believe that that may also be on Tubi TV, if I'm correct.
Okay.
So we have those out there circulating around, as well as we just talked about earlier with When the Walls Talk, the Whispers of State documentary that is also circulating out there on some of the platforms. We've got some things for 2022.
That is on Amazon, if memory serves right. Or when yes. I watched it, it was on Amazon.
Yes, it is on Amazon Prime.
Yep.
And it is also, like I said, on the History Timeline channel on YouTube.
Yep.
And I will say this as far as that goes, because I don't want anybody to get, you know, any kind of influence by some of the comments that get left behind. I'm a really big fan of the people make comments about stuff they don't like. But if you look at the likes on it, you know, it gets a lot of likes. So
it comes with the Bob.
All
I
care about.
It comes with the Bob After Dark stamp of approval, folks. So, that's the important thing here. That and Volumes of Fear also has the Bob After Dark stamp of approval.
Yes, got it.
Because got it. I was on it.
We're out of here.
if you weren't on there, would you have approved it any?
What?
Oh. Would you have given it the stamp? If you
would have gotten a thumbs up, but not like the official stamp. And I would have given you a thumbs up and maybe plugged you on the podcast once.
Hot because dog.
Because it's you, and I would
fight Bob. No,
I got a question. If they ever do a what's that cryptid? The pants cryptid?
Oh my god, the Fresno Nightcrawler. Your favorite paranormal.
I
want to
play
entity.
That character if the Fresno Nightcrawler ever makes an appearance.
Do you know the Fresno? I'm assuming you know what it is.
No,
right?
I have no idea what this is.
I have heard of this.
It's literally the dumbest cryptid of all time. It's literally a pair of white legs with black eyes, and it just walks. That's it.
This sounds like a bad kindergarten.
All right, Count. We will for Season 4, which it's looking like we are going to move forward with Season 4, we will factor you in for that role.
Perfect.
And I'm not kidding either. Mark it.
Yeah, yep. Mark it. Make sure you put
fans,
that in your calendar.
Yeah.
Look, you kind of see it right here. It's kind of pulled up the old Google. That's what
it is, right there.
Oh,
there we go. Okay.
It's the pants. That's everybody always talks about the walking
I was
going to
say, it looks like the dancing pants. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that'd be a good character voice, I think.
That reminds me of the movie Slacks that I saw. Have you guys seen this movie?
I've seen Slacks.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah. Slacks is awesome.
Well, thank you, Andy and JC, for coming on the show. And JC, thanks for making your second appearance on Bob After Dark as far as being a guest
is
concerned.
Yeah,
you have
Bob.
A record now.
That's right, man.
My guests usually get one and done, but you came twice.
No, I'll do as many times as you need, so thank you again.
Andy, thank you for coming on the show. I hope you had fun. I hope you learned something.
I learned a lot. I am leaving here a smartest man.
Folks, remember to check out Volumes of Fear and When the Whispers Whisper.
When the Whispers Whisper.
When the Walls Talk, check that documentary out on Amazon Prime. It comes with the Bob Anderson stamp of approval. No, I am not affiliated with the Amazon links yet. Amazon, if you're listening to this. Jeff Bezos, if you're listening to this, make sure you reach out to me for a sponsorship. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Compact, you have any closing words for the evening?
I'm good to go, Bob. Great guest. Next week, are we not revealing anything next week?
No, well, let's just reveal it now.
Oh
yeah. You're going ahead. You booked it. It's yours.
I know, but I know sometimes.
No, you booked it.
I know sometimes by the book, we're like the.
So we talked a little bit about it. Bob After Dark's October theme all this month is about exorcisms and the people that perform them in different walks of faith. And our first guest is probably one of the biggest guests, no offense, Andy, that has ever graced the Bob After Dark airwaves. You're definitely the second biggest guest.
Well, I'm waiting for the name.
You announce it.
So the priest that did the exorcism on the Gary Demon House, Father Maginot, will be on.
Oh, Father Maginot, yes.
He'll be calling in next week.
So he'll be my guest next week, and then
right,
following
I'll take
week.
A second.
Yeah, he was on a movie.
He's a man of the cloth.
He was in a movie.
You can go.
Yeah.
I just met him. A few weeks back at a gathering at the theater at the center, and I was like, hey, you know what? Bob After Dark. This would be perfect. He speaks about the stuff I'll believe before, so he's going to call into the show next week. Should be a fantastic show to kick off
October.
Absolutely.
That's going
to
be kicking it off. Then we have the rabbi coming on the second week. He's going to be speaking about the Jewish mythicisms and the exorcism in their faith. No show on the third, folks, because I'm doing a top secret project that I can't reveal just yet. That'll be getting revealed here very, very soon. And then for kicking off the end of the month, we have a couple witches coming on the show to talk about the witchy persuasion and the exorcisms from there. Folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. To Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.